Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Greg Gutfeld.
I'm Tammy Bruce.
I'm Steve Ducey. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. I'm Trey Yangst. The United States is sending 2,000 additional troops to Europe amid growing tension with Russia.
They're saying, look, Vladimir Putin, if you think what you're doing is going to make NATO less of a problem for you, no, it's going to make it more, because the U.S. troops we now have in Germany and Italy will soon be in Romania, will soon be in Poland, will soon be in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition. 2,000 U.S. troops are headed to Germany and Poland, while 1,000 American service members will go from Germany to Romania. The decision to move more American forces to Eastern Europe comes as the Biden administration tries to calculate the next move by Russian President Putin.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
I don't think of it as reaction from the Russians. I think of it as a reaction from Putin. I mean, he's the autocrat. He's in control here. He's doing it his way. He has some advisors, but this is up to him.
For more on this story, this is Cliff May, the president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
I've long thought, and I've loved somebody, I've studied Putin for a long time. He thinks of himself as the modern day emperor of Russia, the czar. And by the way, historically, the title was czar of all the Russias. And what does that mean, all the Russias? Well, it means Russia we think of, which spans 11 time zones for sure. But it also means very much Belarus, White Russia, and Ukraine, which is sometimes called Lesser Russia. He says this is Ruski Mir, the Russian world, although it goes further than that because it also extends into Central Asia, the Baltics. I think he believes his mission is to reestablish the Russian Empire, which for a time became the Soviet Empire and then collapsed. And Ukraine is very much key to that in his thinking. It's key to that in his thinking because he resents the fact that Ukrainians see themselves as separate from the Russians. Now, do they have historically the same roots? Yeah, they do. So do the Czechs and the Slovaks. So do the Serbs and the Croats. The people of Ukraine, for the most part, see themselves as a distinct nationality. Their religion is Orthodox, but not the same. Most of them don't look to either the Kremlin for rule or to the Patriarch in Moscow. Their language is significantly different. It's a Slavic language, but it's different. And so they want self-determination. And self-determination is something that we, I think, in the Western world believe a people has a right to self-determination. And certainly nobody has a right to cross a border and erase a border by military force, which is what Putin intends to do, or at least says he intends to do. And he wants NATO to say, and the U.S. to say, and the EU to say, of course, that's your right. This is your sphere of influence. We will allow you to do that. Now, why are American troops going into the NATO countries? Well, they're saying, look, Vladimir Putin, if you think what you're doing is going to make NATO less of a problem for you, no, it's going to make it more, because the U.S. troops we now have in Germany and Italy will soon be in Romania, will soon be in Poland, will soon be in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. That's what I think is going on here.
It seems like the efforts by President Putin to deter NATO expansion further east are almost immediately backfiring. I mean, NATO is now bolstering and preparing to bolster its forces, and you have these 8,500 American troops on standby should this decision be made to basically make the collective of forces send this message. But that seems like that's exactly what Putin was trying to avoid, the strengthening of NATO. Where does this all lead? I mean, where do the next few weeks and few months lead to?
Hard to say, because on the one hand, Putin can say whether or not he invades Ukraine. I have exposed the dysfunction and the divisions within NATO, because no one really thinks that German forces are going. Look, NATO forces are not going into Ukraine. The Ukrainians are not asking for that. Ukraine is not a NATO member. Now he's saying, but I fear NATO. NATO has never been aggressive. There's no reason for him to fear it. And but we do believe that if a nation wants to join a mutual defense pact because the nation fears a neighbor, in this case, Putin, they have a right to do so. And Putin doesn't get to say no. And you guarantee me that your doors are closed to nations, to independent nations around me, because those independent nations, they're not so independent. They listen to me first. It is helpful to send those American troops, but and say, listen, there are lines you better not cross, red lines you do not want to be going into, say, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, which all are possibilities. But it is possible, not now, maybe not in 6 months, but at some point, it is possible Putin will say, let me cross those red lines, because America has had red lines in the past that have been crossed, and that has been done successfully. Think Syria, for example. This also has implications for a lot of other things in the world. Believe me, Xi Jinping in Beijing is watching this. If an independent nation can be wiped out, how about Taiwan, which most countries do not recognize as an independent nation, and which China, which the Communist Party of China calls a rogue province? There's something called an international order. It was established after World War II. It changed somewhat after the end of the Cold War. Russia, China, Tehran, they all want to alter that. So it's not a liberal world order. So it's not a rules-based order unless they make the rules. And so it's certainly not an American-led order. This is part of that joint campaign on the part of Moscow, Tehran, and Beijing, all of whom are supporting Putin, by the way.
You've been listening to Cliff May, the president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. We'll be right back. You mentioned how closely other world leaders are going to be watching the coming weeks and the type of support that the world throws behind Ukraine and the messaging that every independent state should have the ability to remain independent and the borders that surround them should be able to stay in those locations without having to fear an invasion. Do you think that messaging is clear at this point by the fact that there are these troops headed to Europe and that we have seen the support for an ally country, but not a NATO member? Will we see sort of similar messaging around things like Taiwan in the near future when these other world leaders continue this rhetoric of, for example, Xi Jinping saying that he wants to basically take over Taiwan and reunify, in his words, the country?
Or exactly. Well, I think we can't say because we don't know how this drama comes out in the end at this point, right? And I think it's so far it's been a mixed message. After Russia severed Crimea from Ukraine in 2014, after his troops, both in uniform and out, went into Donbass in the eastern Ukraine, also in 2014. And there's been an ongoing conflict in eastern Ukraine ever since. Various steps should have been taken by the U.S. under different administrations, by the EU, by NATO, to deter Putin from going any further. That did not happen. That was bad. Right now, it's mixed messages, again, in the sense that, yes, the U.S. has been sending under the Trump administration, lethal weaponry was being sent to Ukraine so they could better defend themselves. For a while, Biden wasn't doing it. Now he is doing it. It needs to be done at an accelerated rate. A lot of things the Ukrainians need to better defend themselves, fight an insurgency if it comes down to that. The Germans, that's the richest nation in the EU and NATO, they have done very little. What have they sent the Ukrainians? Helmets. Helmets? So they can wear helmets while they get shot at, no weapons whatsoever. Other NATO members have also not been stalwart defenders of Ukraine to the extent they can be, again, without committing troops. Nobody expects that. So it's a mixed message so far. We don't know how it plays out. How it plays out will be consequential for the international order and what happens, very much so for China and Taiwan, for Tehran, which wants to be the hegemon of the Middle East, and for Turkey and for others. But this drama is, we're still only on the second act here.
What do you make of the efforts for diplomacy right now? We see these ongoing conversations with European parties and basically acknowledgement of a ceasefire that was brokered back in 2015 that is violated daily. I mean, are there clear paths for diplomacy to prevail right now in this conflict?
No, there are no clear paths for diplomacy to prevail in this conflict. Start with the UN, this UN Security Council. Well, guess what? Russia is a member. Guess what? China is a member. They have veto power. If Putin wants to settle this diplomatically, he can. But if he doesn't want to, having a lot of guys in striped pants go over there and talk and try to persuade him, that's not going to get very far. And by the way, it's very strange. While we're having these discussions and warning Putin of what could happen if he does decide to go into Ukraine, maybe very severe sanctions, which should be part of it for sure. While all that is going on, we're going to Putin and his diplomats and saying, can you help us vis-a-vis Iran? Because we don't want the regime in Tehran to have nuclear weapons. We want them to come back to the JCOA. And believe me, the Russian diplomats and Putin, they want to see America humiliated by the diplomats from Tehran, which has been ongoing because the U.S. negotiations with Tehran in Vienna have only been indirect. The Iranians will not deign to sit down at the same table with us. They'll only go through the Russians. So, no, diplomacy is talking. Talking doesn't get you very far when you're dealing with somebody like Letterman.
In terms of the sanctions that are being threatened by the Biden administration, I mean, we've seen sanctions packages before against the Russians following the annexation of Crimea and the support of separatists in eastern Ukraine. I mean, how far do sanctions go in a situation like this to actually deter behavior of a leader like Vladimir Putin?
Yes, they have to go very far in order to deter a leader like Vladimir Putin. And this is often not understood by people. We say, oh, we'll have sanctions. Oh, that didn't work or that didn't work, whatever. The thing is, first of all, sanctions have to be enforced. Often they're not. That's been the case with the current administration vis-a-vis Tehran. Second, they have to be strong sanctions, not symbolic sanctions. What does that mean? Well, for example, if Putin thinks that he could get his banks could be cut off from the international banking system, he could be thrown out of SWIFT, which the U.S. can't do unilaterally, but it has to do with its partners. That is significant for the Russian economy. And he might not like that because, again, he's a dictator. He doesn't have to worry about his polls quite the same way, but he doesn't want people angry at him and he doesn't want the economy to falter. It takes very strong sanctions, and they must be really enforced seriously in order for sanctions to be coercive economically. That can have force, but you got to mean it.
Really appreciate your analysis and perspective on this. As you mentioned, this is really just act two of an ongoing and developing story in Eastern Europe. Cliff May, the president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, joining us once again on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Cliff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Trey.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
It's time
to take the quiz.
Five questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.